Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in the global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, March 13th, 2010. And I hope you have a chance to look at the article I've put up that I'll be discussing today on the cosmic convergence. And from the information that you've got, if you're looking at the archives or if you're looking at the webpage for Cosmic Love today. You'll see some information that may interest you regarding the signs of the times. These are signs of the times. There's a link there, an article. And there's more than a dozen websites there about different signs of the times. And the concern is, of course, to heed them, be prepared, and there's nothing to fear. I'm going to be going into that a little bit. Those who have made a serious study of the Mayan calendar system are aware that it's the most sophisticated timekeeping system of cosmological cycles within cycles ever devised by man. And that's quite a statement. And those who looked at it and compared it to other calendar systems, you know what I'm referring to. And all those cycles, the Mayan calendar, are converging on the 2010-2012 timeline. They're converging in the sense that where they all meet, and the major cycles as our galaxy crosses, or our solar system crosses the galactic plane of the galaxy, and there's an alignment with the galactic plane, and all these cycles are converging in an extraordinary synchronous way. So a few days ago I received an article, which is linked below on the page introducing this show, and it's from one of the most brilliant scholars of the Mayan calendar, Carl Johan Kalman. And the main article points is that the Mayan calendar is about you. According to the ancient Maya, the creation of the universe, our part in it, or of it, is affected by nine waves, and we are now approaching the end of the eighth wave, and on top of this, the activation of the ninth and highest level that will cap off the evolution of the universe. And he refers to this in his article, which I've linked, as the second coming, as referenced in Revelations and biblical prophecy. And you might say he puts it in the context of unity conscience, which in terms of the second coming would be a Christ-like unity conscience on a mass scale. And I'm going to depart for a second on this concept of unity conscience, and as a dimensional shift and a shift in energetics of the planet and energetics of consciousness, and how this unity conscience, if you can get the jump on this dimensional shift and where it's going, you might say it makes worrying obsolete with no BS as belief systems, because at that time, as that happens, as there's this dimensional shift occurs, there will be a knowing, the scriptures refer to this as the Holy Spirit. That's the composite of, it's kind of the, it's sometimes referred to as the violet flame or the Holy Spirit. That's a composite of the pink and blue frequencies, the love frequencies and the active frequencies, love and action. And of course, the blue plus the pink makes violet, and that's the dynamic of this dimensional shift that we'll be going through. And I've provided a link that gets into the color consciousness codes and more of the understanding of consciousness as a full spectrum of, you might say, rays or frequencies of consciousness. And that helps to understand what I'm referring to when he talks about unity consciousness and what's happening with the full spectrum consciousness shift, dimensional shift. He just refers to it as unity conscience. Kalman does. And according to Kalman, the divine order of the galactic universal field of energies at this ninth level is the holistic synergistic integration of all former levels. And it's designed to generate unity conscience. And manifestation of this unity conscience brought by the ninth level will require an intention on the part of human beings to co-create this. The conscience convergence is the name of his article, Consciousness Convergence, is for those who are willing to set the intention to create unity conscience in the ninth wave of the Mayan calendar system on the accelerated 2010-2012 timeline. In other words, between now and 2012, if it seems like things are going faster, and the rate of change is accelerating, it's because it is. There's an energetic shift, and there's a synchronicity with the energetic shift in our galaxy, in our universe, and our consciousness. So if you're not an advanced student of the Mayan calendar, I highly recommend you watch the series of short videos that I provided a link with there on the page to get a really great overview of what the Mayan calendar is about. And they're short videos. I think there's about 16 of them, YouTube videos. They're about 6 minutes long, and one leads to the other. And it's a really good, extraordinarily comprehensive orientation to the Mayan calendar from one of the other leading scholars, experts, authorities on this subject. And with that solid basis for comprehending the Mayan calendar, read Kalaman's really exceptional article at, and I've got that link there on the page, and you can go to that. So this is the big picture, you might say, of the energetic shift, the big shift, the this new Aquarian dispensation initiation that we're all collectively about to experience. And here's a quote from Carl Jung Kalaman from the article link I provided, which I should mention includes exceptional charts and graphics to give background and overview of this, what he's talking about. And this quote goes, "Many people have an intuitive sense that the end of the Mayan calendar will bring a shift in consciousness. Yet it is rarely clearly stated or explained exactly what is the source of such a shift, how it will happen, or what would be its nature. Maybe, however, shifts in consciousness are exactly a little less mysterious than many people tend to believe. In fact, shifts in consciousness have been happening from the beginning of time and continue to happen whenever there is a significant energy shift in the Mayan calendar, such as between any of its days and nights." And he has a chart, figure one, that goes into what he's referring to with these cycles of the Mayan calendar and when these major shifts occurred. And if you listen to those videos or watch those videos, YouTube videos I referenced, it'll go much more into depth of how during these shifting, these cycle shifts, that the consciousness shifted on Earth in the evolutionary progression of, you know, human consciousness. And it's quite amazing if you go into that. So for understanding what this conscience convergence is about that Carl Johan Kalman's talking about, I highly recommend then clicking on that link on conscience convergence and going to the web page. And I go through some of the information I've just given is excerpted from this article, and it goes into much more orientation to this concept of what's going on. And it all kind of keys back to the urgent signs of the times now and what the portents are. Now, I give some background on this concept to balance it out, you might say, because there's a negative aspect on these signs of the times. And I caution everyone listening and anyone that goes and reads that link on the signs of the times. And this information is not for the faint of heart or the weak of mind. And I say that because everyone wants to, everyone that's oriented to service to others and helping others wants to tell them, help them prepare, or help them get in a mindset of preparation for what's coming. And the full implication of what's coming could have a negative impact on anyone's cherished illusions or emotional equilibrium. So I recommend that you do not forward this to those with problems of either with either cherished illusions or emotional equilibrium. Now, this comes back to the free will factor, which is the real X factor in this, and the signs of the times, Planet X inbound, and all the perspectives on that subject, whether you call it Wormwood or Nibiru, or there's many other names to history, and recently by people that are in the know, they have other names for this planetoid that's inbound. And there's a vast amount of information at this link on Signs of the Times. But it's information I've condensed over many years, some of it quite recently. And this respect for the free will of others, again, you may want to get this information to others, but be very prudent with who you do that with. Some are receptive, some aren't, and you can make, so to speak, karma by interfering with the free will of others who really don't want to know and or have their own cherished delusions or emotional issues that they just don't want to go there. So there's that free will factor that is always a point to consider. And, of course, for those who really are open-minded and want the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that's a lot better to them than the ostrich approach, unless you want your butt as a big target, so to speak. So if you resolve to investigate this subject thoroughly of the signs of the times, then center in a philosophic calm about it, like the eye at the center of a hurricane, and just observe it and consider it and pray and prepare is what I always say. When I say that, the prayer of pure intention is not seldom the prelude of the revelation as far as your own divine plan, your own divine destiny. No one can do it for you. Just, you know, connect the dots, check it out, and take the truth as your guide. So I'm going to go into this a little bit, a little orientation on some of these signs of the times, and this is kind of cutting to the quick, you might say, and going right to the kind of the focus of this article on the conscience convergence, which is to say it's good to understand the big picture. And the big picture of what's going on in the politics and economics in the United States is so often with a forked-tongued, two-faced, politically correct a view that is not going to rock the boat or any way challenge the status quo mindset. And most listeners of the show are here because they really want the straight skinny and the deep doo-doo, you might say. And so that's where I'm coming from. My perspective on this is largely like Patrick Henry, who said, "For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I'm willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to deal with it." So basically what he's saying and what I encourage is to get a grip and realize that all truth that's politically incorrect requires your own discernment. And all truth goes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed, then it's violently opposed, and finally, it's accepted as self-evident. That's from Schopenhauer. And it's true. This is a subject that is largely ridiculed and in many quarters is violently opposed. A lot of people do not want to hear it, and as I recommend those who don't, I suggest that unless you have a little attunement to where people are at, otherwise expect some violent opposition emotionally and people that are angry because they just don't want to hear it. Finally, truth is accepted as self-evident in the three stages, and when Planet X appears, as is indicated, and I'm going to go into where this indication comes from, but it'll be appearing around midsummer through the fall. And that timeline I've been getting from multiple perspectives, and I know the natural response is, well, if that's true, why aren't they telling us? Well, there's laws against that. NASA has been under a government restriction for some time not to announce anything inbound until it's past the planet so panic doesn't ensue. So the official word on this is that there's no Planet X. Anyway, check it out for yourself. I recommend the perspective of an ancient master on this subject and translate it in contemporary words, and you'll probably recognize where this quote comes from. But the quote would go, "Don't believe anything that anyone says before checking it out for yourself. Don't believe what any official says merely out of respect for officialdom. And don't believe what the nearest and dearest say merely out of love for them. And don't believe only what you want to believe merely out of your own prejudice, but rather out of pure intention for the whole truth, no matter what the cost. Connect the dots to the whole picture as revealed in your heart of hearts, and take that as your guide." So that's good counsel in this regard. So it's for you to connect the dots. And there's a lot of signs of the times that are self-evident, like the recent earthquakes in Turkey, Chile, Haiti, and the increasing frequency and magnitude of these earthquakes. And that's simply because there are earth changes in process. Now, as for what's going to happen, I put out this article this last week, or the previous article. And the previous article, and I provide a link to it, was on the subject of biblical prophecies. And I provide that link. You can look at that. And I went into some preliminary information to this urgent signs of the times. And I gave some of the indications there. And this was the article on Wormwood, biblical prophecy on Wormwood and revelations and things that are in the scriptures that a lot of Christians look to. And I've also provided that link and information from that article at Signs of the Times. So you can look at that, go into the different perspectives of prophecy, whether it's from a biblical perspective or the Mayan calendar, from ancient civilizations all over the planet regarding Planet X. There's links on that. There is more than 11 million viewings on YouTube of a video that I provide a link that's on these different ancient prophecies. There's some select information I provide on the Mayan calendar and the dimensional shift. And there's a link to several Earth changes maps of the future after the pole shift. Now, the pole shift, some people say it's going to be a magnetic pole shift. The information I'm getting from multiple sources at this time, there will be a physical pole shift. And I'm going to provide some information on that now that I found very interesting. And this is information from a reader that responded to that a new email list posting that I gave that I put out on Bible prophecy and Wormwood, you know, Planet X. So I provide that link at the bottom on the Signs of the Times near the last link at the bottom, and this was just a response this last week. And you might note that I responded to this letter by asking this guy where he was coming from to know all this stuff about Planet X. And he told me, and you might say, it's out of this world. Then that's all I've got to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say. So now here's his letter. He says, "Hi, Chris, I wish to thank you for sending me your email. I guess it was an act of God or something so I could make some minor corrections. Yes, Planet X, also known as Nibiru, also known as Wormwood, the Planet of the Crossing, the Destroyer, the Wing Globe, the Dragon Ball, and there's about 20 other names. This has been known throughout history. It's coming," he's saying. but further research by you will bear me out. And then he gives a debriefing on the real story of Planet X and when it's coming in. And as I said, this guy's highly credible. His information checks out from a lot of other perspectives that I've heard. I usually don't talk about this. This is knowledge that I consider privy to those who really want to know and prepare spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. So he goes on to say, he says, your further research will bear me out. He says, it's not a star. It's a planet four times the size of Earth, but with 23 times the magnetic field. It does not by itself make our sun a binary star, as it is a watery planet with some cloud cover trailing dozens of moons, quintillions of loose rocks, and millions of miles of iron ore dust, which is the red dragon tail that's often viewed. He says it glows red as the clouds pick up the orange from the huge volcanic rifts lacing the planet. It appears from a distance to have wings as the tail of moons and rocks are arranged in a double helix that revolves around it. He provides some NASA photographs of it at the bottom that came off of the website, the SOHO satellite website, because it's between the Earth and the Sun right now, or coming across. So he says it has these twin strands, like a double helix that revolves behind it, and they appear from the front to be wings of a wheeling and turning bird. That's where the name came from, called a winged globe. And there's some interesting graphics he's got, even from ancient times, that are the graphics that represent this system, because it comes around about every 3,600 years, and he actually gives a specific time on this. So he says it's between the sun and the earth now, as it separates from the sun, which actually is more than halfway to earth now. It will gradually increase in size until it's almost as large visually as the full moon is now. It will get exactly 40 million miles from Earth, closer than it has ever been before. He says it returns every 3,657 years. The last time is in the Old Testament, Joshua 10. The plagues of Egypt are the lead up. He says the plagues of Egypt are the lead up to the pole shift. They will be worse now, this time. Now, I've read in-depth references to the plagues of Egypt and what happened when all these critters came out of the ground, snakes, bugs, all kinds of stuff, because the electromagnetics of the Earth is so affected by the electromagnetics of Planet X. And he says it will be worse now this time because, well, he says it does go back and forth between the sun as it comes in, and yet and as yet unidentified other star, 18 times the maximum distance of Pluto from the sun. I have to break that sentence down a little better, but anyway, he says it's in a sling track, not in a sling track as it comes around. It's not an elliptical egg orbit that many think. It's more like a sling. Well, he gives the analogy, remember the toy with the paddle and a red ball and a gray elastic? The ball shoots off the paddle, and at maximum extension of the elastic, it springs back only to be hit again as you play. And it's not so much an ovoid, like he says, as a sling track. Planet X comes out of the sky in the direction of Orion and was first spotted by NASA in 1983 and announced only to be retracted the next day, with a week report saying we are still looking for the missing planet of our solar system excuse. I've seen those reports. I've seen them in magazines. It was announced in mainstream publications. And so I know that to be true. So he says as it speeds towards our sun, it slows down considerably, almost to a stop, slowly passes the sun without hitting it, and turns to face back from whence it came, sweeping the Earth with its huge tail of rocks and dust. hydrocarbons, carbohydrates. The particles get into our atmosphere, and for a few years, the morning dew will dry to a white powder, these hydrocarbons, carbohydrates. Those are the carbon and hydrogen elements from Planet X. It's edible, although not much, but it is life-sustaining and is the manna from heaven in the Old Testament when Moses was in the Exodus. If you remember that story, and there was manna they picked up, that were these hydrocarbons, carbohydrates, that mixed with the morning dew and dried into a white powder that they collected, the Israelites collected to eat during that 40 years in the wilderness. Interesting story, isn't it? Anyway, the iron ore dust will feed the plankton, the iron ore dust from the tail, will feed the plankton in the oceans, and as the ocean will turn pea soup green, as plankton will skyrocket, and ocean fish food chains will burst, returning ocean fish to the main source of food for those who survive near the coasts. So there's hope here for the planet. Oh, geez. So as it turns out, it will look like the red-brown eye of the dragon, this Planet X as it comes in, with a serpentine tail rippling in the daylight sky. That is why every Chinese parade for 40,000 years has had a dragon ball at the head followed by a dragon tail. It's so no one will ever forget. So that's where that comes from. I always wondered about that. And then Planet X, Nibiru, Wormwood will speed out of here and come back in another 3,657 years. He says, but this time it will be different. As all governments fail, there will be open contact, he says, with unselfish aliens. In the next 100 years after the shift, the Earth will move to its next step, the fourth dimension, where there will be no unselfishness and no deceit, as all the selfish people die off, never to come back. This is promised in Revelation as the 1,000 years of peace. Planet X, he explains, is the home of the Anunnaki. And this, I know, verified from Sitchin's and the research with Sitchin and his books on Planet X, the 10th planet. He says, they who came to Earth to mine gold. He says, they are very tall, 12-foot aliens, and very selfish. But they are banned from Earth by unselfish aliens now. However, they created an effective race of slaves, us, to mine the gold for them. And they are the giants and the men from above in Genesis, the Nephilim. And people that are familiar with scriptural lore know the story of the giants in the earth and the Nephilim and etc. So he goes on to say that unselfish humans, and this is where he gets into cosmogenesis. And again, from his perspective, I've had this. I mean, when I heard him explain this, I thought about this, and I'm aware that this is largely true from my perspective. And I give this, I've heard this story now from many perspectives over many years studying cosmogenesis. And you might say the mysteries that have come from a lot of sources, a lot of them off-planet, and a lot of them connecting the dots from other sources that I really believe to be true. So what he's saying is that unselfish humans destroyed their planet eons ago and decided to genetically engineer sex and emotions from out of their bodies, and further to clone themselves, designing a very advanced telepathic clone body. Now, he's giving a little background story here on something that's going on that gets into those who follow this stuff may be comfortable with this, others may be very uncomfortable with it, but here's his story, so I'm just going to relate it and you decide. He says that these humanoids that long ago, eons ago, got into this genetic engineering, they all look the same because they are cloned, but each is different and has different abilities and interests, having individual souls just as Earth humans now. But their cloning failed, and they were directed to Earth by the Council of Worlds to examine us. And this gets into the Galactic Federation and advanced civilizations that we have all knowledge blacked out about here on Earth regarding the subject. But anyway, he goes on to say, they soon realized they themselves made a mistake cutting out emotions and sex, and in that we are, and in that we are far more advanced than they are. And so this gets back into the genetic material to work through for the soul to create a platform for the soul matrix to incarnate into. And this is a whole other story in itself. But he goes on to say, but having been designed to not know our own spiritual heritage with their cloning, they decided to design a non-clone hybrid race into which they and we could incarnate. Now, the idea here gets into something going on with the evolution of the genetics on the planet. And I've been hearing about this for years, that this has been going on, well, for decades that I know of, this process of combining, you might say, the DNA of more advanced races with human races here on the planet. And he goes on to say, this is the new race spoken of by so many prophecies. And there's a lot of prophecies that refer to a new race of man. But of course, it's not just genetic. It's really talking about certain souls, advanced souls, incarnating into a more perfect body. And he goes on to say, you and I will incarnate into those bodies. The new race is totally unselfish and in contact with all unselfish beings in the universe. Now, what he's saying here, and this took me a long while to even looking again at what he was saying and tying it in with information that I knew, it took me a long while to really understand what this evolutionary process is about on the Earth and how it's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years back to the time when the Anunnaki came, and more recently with the last arrival of Planet X and what's been going on in the meantime. So he goes on to say that that there are still selfish people even on the fourth dimension, but they will not be on Earth. This is the meaning in Revelation, that the evil will be chained for 1,000 years. Now, this level of cosmogenesis is something that I've been fascinated with for many years, and again, looked at this subject from many different angles. And it explains a lot when you connect the dots. So I recommend that you do that. And he goes on to say that during the 1,000 years, we will work telepathically and verbally and physically to build, and this is interesting, he says, a space fleet and leave Earth forever, trailing to all ends of the universe to be known as the Explorer Race. I guess that's where the Star Trek series came from. Someone had future memory and got a little ahead of the picture with some sci-fi. But he goes on to say that with all the hardships endured on Earth from the selfish, and no group has ever overcome so much and has so much to give. What he's saying is that the testings of this dense octave of incarnation here on the Earth plane has been extraordinary for souls, and lessons learned through multiple embodiments. He says that no group has ever overcome so much and has so much to give. Again, he is saying we are an advanced, genetically at this point even, we're an advanced race with a soul matrix that is exceptional. So he goes on to say, we will be the future evangelists of the universe, teaching unselfishness and bringing open contact with all worlds to all worlds. No other group could do what we will be able to do. And I think that's, you know, I really can, you know, believe that that is the divine destiny of human evolution, is kind of like the Star Trek theme, to go where no one's gone before, to explore new worlds, etc. So he goes on to say that those who have made an orientation choice by intent and deed to be service to others will be rewarded with a new world which we deserve, but the selfish do not. And this is where it gets really interesting, and I hope those who have put up with me so far will appreciate this. He goes on to say the pole shift will occur at these next opportunities, and it's interesting how he uses the word opportunities. He says the end of August 2010, end of December 2010, and end of April 2011. He qualifies this. He says that from the moment it becomes first visually obvious in the sky, there will be 7.3 weeks until the pole shift. When the pole shift is less than 1 week, the North Pole will tip over away from the sun and the Northern Hemisphere will be in darkness 24/7 for 3 to 6 days. At pole shift, tidal waves 700 feet will sweep most coasts and surge inland up to hundreds of miles. And the pole shift, after the pole shift, the ice will melt, and every tide will be 6 inches higher than the last for 2 years until all the ice melts. A total new sea level will be 675 feet above present in most places, as in Revelation, 1/3 of the forest of Earth will burn as the rocks come down as red-hot meteorites. Now, he's getting pretty specific here, and there's more specifics to come. He says, as in Revelations, two will be in the field and one will be taken. Two will be in the house and one will be taken. This is the unselfish aliens rescuing those who are so spiritual they do not need to live through the tribulations of the end times. They will land back on Earth with unselfish aliens and help rebuild the Earth in record time. As you might imagine, every 3,657 years, we have gone back to the Stone Age, and record-keeping goes all to hell, but not this time. Although all the service-to-self people, selfish people, will think so. They'll think that it's going to be the same pattern all over again. But while the unselfish will begin the new world, a new age, and a new beginning planned for so long. So basically we're talking about, you might call it divine intercession here. Maybe that's where the popular Christian Beam Me Up Rapture series of books and movies comes from. I'd like to think that there will be divine intercession, and just as a lot of spiritual people believe that the Masters and or God or Jesus knows their heart, personally, I believe for a long time, well, I know from my sources, that this is one of the biggest dramas in cosmic history, and that's going on now, and that we're going to have big drama in the near future. So I'm going to give that a wrap for now. There's more information on the articles, and I thank you for listening to Cosmic Love, and I look forward to doing it here in another couple weeks. So keep the faith. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention, because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.